Okay, today's daf is daf Chaf Ches and Shabbos. And we will start from the last three lines in daf Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. So the Mishnah said that anything that comes from a tree, you could only light, you can't light with anything that comes from a tree except as wicks, except for pishdan, except for lidded, flax. And the Gemara says that it also says Yotzi Bira'et Eda Betabe Tuas Tubas Oalim Ela Pishtad. And anything that comes from wood is not Betame Tumas Oalim, the Tuma of tents, other than Pishtad. And the Gemara, in other words, the ohel itself, if it's made of wood, the ohel itself does not become tamei unless it is pishdan, unless it's flax or linen. So the Gemara asks Minalan, what's the source for this rule? Amar Abelazar Gamar ohel mi mishkan. We learned from ohel, the word ohel in the Mishkan, Gzera Shaveh. It's written by Tumas Ohel in Bamidbar Yutes Yudalid. Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yamus BaOhel. Uchsiv Asam. And it's written by setting up the Mishkan through Moshe. Vayifros Esha Ohel Al HaMishkan. So Malahalon, just like by the Mishkan, Shal Pishtan Karoi Ohel. That when they made the covering of the Mishkan, so they made it out of flax. So that was, and that's called an ohel, but nothing else that came from wood, from any tree, was considered ohel. Afkan shall pishtan kari ohel, so too, also pishtan, flax is considered ohel. Even by Tumas Ohalim. So the Gemara then asks, E Malahalan Shizurin Vechutin Kafel Shisha, Avkan Shizurin Vechutin Kafel Shisha. So if we're learning Ohel from Tumas, if it's we're learning from Tumas Ohel, so we should also learn that from Mishkan, we should also learn just like by the Mishkan, the threads were woven together and they were like, there's six different threads. Each thread of that made the curtains of the Mishkan was made of six different threads that were, you know, so woven together or twisted and tied together. Afkan shizur v'chutan kafel shisha. So maybe only to have tumas ohel, you also would need the six threaded material from six threads that are together, twisted together. Tamalomar, ohel, ohel. So it says ohel a number of times. Reba. So here, it includes that because it says ohel a few times by Tumas Meis, so it comes to tell you that even an ohel that does not have these twisted threads and it's not six threads in one. Even that's not, you know, that's not a requirement necessary for Tumas Olim. I just want to interrupt for 1 second because she's on, because Ricky's on the call. So the learning will be Lezecha Nishmas Fredel Bas Meir Verivka, correct? Ricky?
Yes. Okay. Meir
Verivka. Bas Meir Verivka, right. Fredel Bas Meir Verivka. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Learning.
Shamashav
and Aliyah. It's close to the learning.
Thanks.
Okay. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara continues, E ohel ohel riva, afil komile nami. If indeed the word ohel comes to include that many different types of ohels can become tumas ohel, afil komile nami. So therefore, every type of material should also have tumas ohel, even things that were not in the Mishkan. In other words, we're learning from the Mishkan to include to Tumas Olim to say that no, it's only Pishtan. And then we're saying, but it says Ohel many times to include even if it's not six threads. So once we're saying that it has the word Ohel to include a lot of things, why don't we say the word Ohel includes even materials other than Pishtan? So the Gemara then says, Im Kain, Gzeira Shave, my Hanile. So then what's the purpose of the Gzeira Shave? So therefore, the Gzeira Shave must teach you something. So they're saying that the Gzeira Shave teaches you the only Pishtan, and the extra Ohels tell you it doesn't have to be exactly like it was in the Mishkan. It doesn't have to be six threads. Ve'ema malahalon krashim, afkan krashim. Why don't you say that just like in the Mishkan, krashim, the boards were called an Ohel, and the Mishkan is called an Ohel. So too, by Tumas Olim, maybe an Ohel made from krashim, from boards, is also considered an Ohel. So Amar Kra, no, the Pasuk says, Ve'asisa krashim la Mishkan. It says you're going to make the krashim for the Mishkan. What does that imply? Mishkan karoi Mishkan. A Mishkan is called the Mishkan. In other words, it says, Eser Yirio Sheish Mazor, it says Mishkan. Ve'ein krashim kruyim Mishkan. Because it says kruyim la Mishkan. The krashim are la Mishkan. So only the Mishkan itself is called an Ohel. In Ohel Moed. The Mishkan is called Mishkan Ohel Moed. So the Urios are actually called the Mishkan, the Ohel Moed, and that was made out of flax. But the Krashim were made for the Mishkan. The Krashim themselves are not called a Mishkan. So the Gemara asks, El Miata, but from now, Vasisa Mikse La Ohel, Hachanami, Mikse Lo Ikre Ohel. So, from the language of Krashim La Mishkan, we infer that the Krashim themselves are not called Mishkan. If so, it says you should make a mikseh, a covering for the Ohel. So what that should indicate is also that it says La Ohel, that the mikseh, the covering, is not called the Ohel then. Just like the Mishkan is not called, just like the Krashim is not called the Mishkan, because it says Krashim la Mishkan, and therefore the Krashim are not the Mishkan. So here, when the Pasuk says, Vasisa Mikseh Ohel, so the Mikseh is not called the Ohel. So Ela Hadabai, so he says this, El Hadabai Rav Elazar. If that's true, then that which Rav Elazar has a question, or Behema Tamei Amaushi Yitame Be'ohel Hameis, Rabbi Elazar has a question. He's not sure if the skin of a behema tamea can be metame tumas oalim. You know, can that be, is that considered tumas oalames? So Gemara says, wait a second, hashta or behema tahora lo metame or behema tamea mebaye. If in or the skin of a behema tahora that was in the Mishkan, like the skins of the elim adamim, is not metame with tumas ohel, because it's not called an ohel, it's only called a mikseh la ohel. It's called a, right, these skins are used as a covering for the tent. So if indeed we say that the mikseh is not considered an ohel, and these skins are not considered an ohel, so or behema tamea ben baye, so why is Rabbi Elazar asking if an or behema tamea is considered, can be used for tumas olim? If or behema tahora is not considered, so certainly or behema tamea is not considered. So the fact that Rabbi Elazar asked the question, it must mean that or behema tahora is considered tumas ohalim, and therefore we're left with our question of why is that considered an ohel? Because it says mikseh la ohel. So we're saying, no, shiny hasim, it's different over there by the mikseh, the covering of the skins. Because even though it says mikseh la ohel, nevertheless, the hader adre kra, the pasuk calls it itself an ohel afterwards. Even though one place says la ohel, it calls it ohel in another place. Dichsiv, v'nasu es yirios ha-mishkan ves ohel mohed mikseyu. Now the Urios Hamishkan, that's the bottom cover that was made from flax and wool. And the Ohel Moed refers to the Urios Ha'izim, the goats the goatskin covering that were on top of the urios hamishkan. So you first had the urios made from pishdan and semer, and then you had the urios made from goatskin, and then the mechseu mechseu tachas. So those were the skins of the Elim and Chashim that were on top of the Rios Ha'izim, of the goatskins. So you got three different coverings. So this Pasuk mentions them together, right? Rios HaMishkan, Ol Moed, Michsehu, Michse HaTachas. It mentions all of them. So Makish Elyon LeTachon. So we compare the upper ones made of the skins to the bottom ones that are made of Rios Izim. MaTachton Karu Ohel. Just like the bottom ones are called Ohel, because it's called the Ohel Moed. So Af Elyon Kari Ohel, so we even call the top ones as well, and therefore we see from here that an Ohel that's made from the skins is Tameh Tumas Ohalim. And the fact that it says La Ohel in another place, so that's not the only source, it also calls it Ohel itself in this source. Okay. Now, above, we just mentioned the doubt of Rabbi Elazar regarding the skin of a Behema Temeah. If that skin of Behema Temeah serves as an Ohel, as a tent, will that, and there's a mace underneath, there's a corpse underneath, will, he's in doubt as to whether the skin will become Tameh from Tumas Ohel. Gufas. So let's return to this issue itself. By Rabbi Elazar, or Behema Temeah Ma'ashi Tameh Tumas Olim. This skin of a Behema Temeah, can that contract Tumas Olim? So Gemara says, "My coming by, like, what's his doubt? That behold, he himself explained that we learned the Gzeres Shavah from Mishkan only those things that were considered an ohel when it comes to Tumas Olim, and the Michseh of the skins were specifically from a Behema Tahora. So what's the question? So Amar Rav Ada Barava Tachash Ahaya Bimei Moshe coming by, like, the Tachash that was in the days of Moshe, from which you made the upper covering of the Mishkan. That's his question. Tamei haya o tar haya. Was the tachash a behema temeya, or was a tachash a behema tahora? So that's the question. Amar Rav Yosef, mighty boyle, what's his doubt? Tanina lahukshu l'mlachas shemayim ela or behema tahor bavad. We have a brisa which tells us that only the skins of Behema Tahora were fit for the service of God, which is obviously referring to the Mishkan, and therefore must be that the Tachash had to have been a Behema Tahora. So the Gemara asks, Mesiv Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba asked from a Braisa, how can you say that the Tachash is a Tahor species? We know that in the Melechas HaMishkan, the Torah says, "Vasisa Michseh La'ol Oros Elim Adamim Michseh Oros Tachashim El Mala," and the Tanaim have a debate in a Braisa understanding this pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shnei Michsos Hayu. There were two different coverings: Echad Shel Oros Elim Adamim, VeEchad Shel Oros Tachashim. One was the covering of Elim Adamim, of these rams, these red rams, and one of the skins of the Tachash. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Michse Echad Hayah. Rabbi Nechemia said it was one skin, one covering that was half made from Elim Ma'adamim and half from the Tachash. And Rabbi Nechemia continues, Vidoma Kemin Tila Ilan. And the Tachash is similar to this type of non kosher animal. It's similar to a cat and spotted. Like a spotted cat. So Rabbi Abba concludes his question. Vaha tala ilan tamehu. And what do we see? We know that a tala ilan is a type of behema tamea. And we say that a tachash was similar to it. So what do we see from here? Seems from here that a tachash is also a tame creature. So hachi kamar. So Gemara answers, no, this is what it means to say. That kamin tala ilan hu sheishbo givanim harbe. It's similar to a tala ilan in that it in its skin has many different colors. The lo tala ilan, but it's not really. It's not itself. It's not a tala ilan. The ilu hasam tamei v'achat tahor. No, it said it's similar to it. It's similar properties, but it's not completely similar because it's a behema tahora. The Gemara supports this answer. Rabbi Yosef If so, hainu de mitargaminan sas gona she sas bigvarim harbe. And if this is true, that we're saying it's similar, that it has many colors, that's why we translate tachash in the Torah, that the targum is sas gona, which is from the language of sas, with it's happy with many colors. Okay. Rava Amar, so now Rav Yosef is of the view that it's a tahor species. And now the Gemara brings a different opinion. Rava Amar or Behema Tamea, the Mitame Ba'ol Hames. So Rava says a skin of a Behema Tamea, that you make it as a tent, it can become Tame if it covers a corpse. So Mehacha, you can support it from this Brisa, the Tanya. Because the Brisa says, you know, by the parsha of Saras that hits Begadim. So it says o or, okay. It says o be or. So it could have just said o or without the base, but it writes o be or. So riba or behema temeya. So it includes the skin of a behema temeya that became tame. V'shalaka b'yad kohen. It also includes a garment that got a blemish when it reached the hands of the kohen to check if it had a nega, even though beforehand it didn't have a nega. Even before, it wasn't afflicted with any type of tzaras. So nevertheless, the kohen is metameit. So the brisa continues, katzatz mikulan. V'asa achas mehen minayin tamalomar o b'chol malechas or. So this says that if you cut off from one of these types like tzemer or pishtim or some type of skin, if you cut off one and you made a beged out of them from this material, how do you know that it still becomes tamei by nigayim? Because it says o b'chol malecha or. So what do we see from here? We learn from here that just like by Negaim, or Behema Temeya is similar to or Behema Tehora, so too when it comes to Tumas Ohalim. So Rava brings brings this price up, but then he challenges it. He says you can't necessarily prove from Negaim to Tumas Olim. Now it's clear that for Negayim, the Or Behema Temeya can contract Negayim, and we want to compare that and say that just like that applies to Negayim when like it gets Saras, so it would also apply when it hovers over a mace like Tumas Olim. So Rav is challenging the fact that we can learn from Negayim to Olim. Ve'ikal Amefrach, and you can ask, that by Tumas Negaim, even a single horizontal or vertical thread, it's not even, you know, processed together or woven together from a fabric, they still become Tamei for Tumas Negaim. So it's more strict. So maybe the fact that we say Tumas Negaim is strict and that it applies even to a skin of a Behema Tamea, maybe that would only apply to Tumas Negaim. And that we're strict with Tumas Negaim because that's a more strict type of Tumas, as evidenced by the fact that it's Tameh just by Shasi Va'era. Right? So Ela Gamar Mishratim. So maybe we learn Tumas Olim by Or Behema Tamea, not from Negaim, because that is indeed more strict. We'll learn it from Tuma of Shratim, of dead creepy crawlers, insects, the Tanya. Because we learn in Ebraisa. Or the pasuk says in Bayuka Yudaf Lamed Beis V'Kol Asher Yipol Lav Mehem B'Mosim Yitmam Mikol Kliets O Beged O Or. So he said that anything that falls on the sheretz after it dies, any kliets or beged or an or a sock. So it says that the Brisa says the following. It says or, and it just said U Beged Vi Or. Then Ainli Ella Or Behema Tahora. Then I would say that only applies to the skin of Behema Tahora. Or Behema Tamea Minayin. How do I know that the dead sheres can contract Tuma to the skin of a behema tameya, tamalomar o or the word o alavav teaches us that it applies even to an or behema tameya, and we can learn from shratzim to ohel. So Rava rejects that proof also. He called the meifach malish shratzim shkeim etamim bicha adasha. Shratzim are maybe shratzim have this stringency, have this stringency of or behema tameya, because in general it's more stringent than ohel, because it's metame with a smaller amount. Even if the sheretz has a shear of an adash of a lentil, then it's metame. So maybe it's strict, and you can't learn from there to ohel. So Rava says, listen, okay, that's true, but negaim yochichum. So maybe we can learn from negaim. Because Nagaim, it's only mitame with the shear of a gris, which a larger size. So, but then we say, but wait a second, v'chazer adin. But if you want to prove from Nagaim, then you can challenge it because Nagaim has the stringency of shasi ve'erev. In other words, each one of Nagaim and shratzim has its own stringency. So you can't learn from one from the other. You can't learn from either one to ohel v'chazer adin, and we try to repeat this return to this logical conclusion. Lo roi zeh k'roi zeh, lo roi zeh k'roi zeh. The stringencies of either one are different. The hatzad hashav shebahen sheor tamei bahen asa or behema tamei k'or behema tahora. Afani avi oel hamesh she'or bo v'nasa bo or behema tamek or behema tahora. So maybe we can learn from both of them together, since each of negaim, tumas negaim and shratzim have a different stringencies, but they have a common denominator. What's the common denominator? That the or tame that they have that or tame can contract tuma. And they treat or behema tameya is similar to or behema tahora, so maybe learn from both of them combined to ol hames that if the ol hames is an or tame, so then it's also treated like or behema tahora, and it would become tumas ohel. So Amalei Rava, Rava says to Amalei Rava mi barnish the Rav Ashi. So Rava from Barnish says to this is a town in Bavel too, Rav Ashi, Ikal Meifach. You can challenge that. It's Tzad HaShaveh. Mal Tzad HaShaveh, Shebahem, Shekein Temeim, B'pachas B'Kazayas. Yeah, but both of these two categories of Negaim and Shratzim are Tameh, contract Tuma for something that's less than a Kazayas. So Tomer B'Meh, She'ein HaMetam Alav B'Kazayas. Yeah, but and they're more strict that Meis is only Tameh B'Kazayas, with a Kazayas. So both of them are more stringent. So you can't prove. So both of them have a stringency that Ohel doesn't have, and therefore maybe you can't learn from them to Ohel. Ela Amar Rav Mi Barnis. So rather, Rav Mi Barnis wants to say the following: Asya v'kavachom mi notza shel izim. We can learn the din of or behema tameya of Ohel from the feather of goats. So that what? That a garment that's made from feather of goats, from goat feather, she'ein metame binagayim, that it's not metame binagayim, it cannot, these goat feathers cannot become tame for negayim, but nevertheless, metame, if you made an oil out of it, it's metame by oil hames. It's metame, it can be metame by oil hames, because Tumas Oelim, we learn from the Gzereshav of Oel from Mishkan, and the Oel of the Mishkan was made from, one of the Oels of the Mishkan was made from the Ashid, from goat feathers. So therefore, Ohel is, so the material of goat feathers can be Metame ba Ohel. So if goat feathers are not Metame binigayim, but they are metame ba'ol hames, so too the or behema tameya that is metame b'negayim, kal v'chomer, it should be able to be metame ba'ol hames. So that's what kal v'chomer wants to say. Now above, Rav Yosef brought a brisa that only the Or of Behemoth Tahora is Machshir, is fit for Melech HaShemayim. And Rav Yosef wanted to say the intent of the Braise is to tell you that the Tachash of the Mishkan was a Tahor species. And we learn from this that only a Behemoth Tahora can become can have Tumas Ohel. But now that Rava's Mechadesh, he says that also an Or Behemoth Tameh can become Tameh. So now we need to know what that Braise teaches us. So what does this Braise mean? If now we're concluding that you could actually, that an Or Behema Temeya can be Metame Ohel. And we see from here that apparently so what's this saying here? And so that, so what does that mean? So presumably the Tachash was a Behema Temeya. So then what does this mean that only in Or Behema Torah was Machshir for Melech HaShemayim? Let me change that. That what's the halacha lemaisa of saying lo huchshu b'melech haShemayim ala or behema tahora bilvad? What's the halacha lemaisa? If indeed the skin of behema tameya can have tumas olim, so when you say that only or behema tahora was fit for melech haShemayim, what halacha is it teaching us this? What chiddush do we have from this? If it can't teach you any more that tumas olim doesn't apply to or behemoth tameya, because we've concluded that tumas olim does apply to behemoth tameya. So what's this melech haShemayim chiddush coming to teach us? So he says, so Gemara is saying what about litfilin? What about tefillin? So maybe tefillin only have to be from an or behemoth tahor. Maybe that's what the Braise comes to teach you. Gemara says, no, tefillin behedek sibahu. We know tefillin that says that explicitly. Because the pasuk says, v'ayilachal osa yotchal zikon beninacha. It should be for you for a sign on your hands and for remembrance between your eyes. Laman tiyah Torah Hashem bificha. So the Torah of God should be bificha. And Chazal Darshan, that the Torah of Hashem should be min hamutar b'ficha. It has to be from a species that is permitted in your mouth, that's permitted b'achila. So we see explicitly from the pasuk that tefillin have to be from the or behema tahora. So this braisa doesn't teach us. We don't need this braisa to teach us that. So ela le'oran. So rather, the braisa come teach us that the batim of the tefillin, where the parshas are placed, so that can only be from the skin of Behemoth Tahora. The Gemara asks, V'ha Amar Abaye Shin Shel Tefillin Halav Chamoshim Yisinai. But doesn't he say that the shin of the bias, we learned that from Halacha Lamoshim Yisinai, and also making the knot of the Dalid and the Yud also, these are all Halacha Lamoshim Yisinai. So presumably then the bias presumably is also we learn that from Allah Chalamoshim Yisinai. So what's the price of teaching us? Ella.
It's a Shem Hashem.
The Shem Hashem, right. The Shin Dal
Shakai.
Right. Thank you. Right. So since the Os of Shin from the Shem Hashem is written on the skin, so we don't need a price to teach us this. So Ella, then what's the price could teach us? L'chorchan b'sa'aran. To fold the partials in the skin, in the by the sayar of the behema that from which you make the cloth. So in other words, the behema tahora v'chein letofran begidin. Also to sew the you need it for the sewing the sinews of a behema with the batim of the tefillin. So that's what you need. So that's what you need the braisa to teach you. So Hanami, but he said, no, that's also Lachal Moshim Yisinai. That's also the fact that the folding has to be from the hairs and the sewing has to be from the sinews of Behemoth Tahora. That's all Lachal Moshim Yisinai. Tanya, Tefillin Merubah, also Lachal Moshim Yisinai. That the Batim should be square, that's Lachal Moshim Yisinai. Nichrachos Bisa'aron V'nis Paros B'gidon. The fact that they're folded with the hairs and they are sewn with the sinews of kosher animals, of Behemoth Torahs, these are Allah Moshe Sinai. So what does this teach? What does this price to teach us? Ella liritzuos. Ah, but it comes to teach you that the straps of the tefillin, that is not halach al Moshe Sinai, and that is the price of telling you that that you have to make them from a behema tahora. Ah, the Gemara asks, v'ahamar Rav Yitzchak ritzuos shechoros halach al Moshe Sinai. No, that the fact that the ritzuos have to be black, that is halach al Moshe Sinai. The Gemara says, yeah, nehi the Gemiri. It's true that we have a tradition that they have to be shechoros, that they have to be black. The fact that they are shechoros, the fact that they are black, that's halacha l'moshe misinai. But tahoros migamire, but that they should be tahoros from behemos tahoros. Where do you learn that from? Who says that? Right? Who's bechadesh that? So that is halacha l'moshe misinai. So again, so since according to the maskana, according to the conclusion of the Braisa, Lo Hukshu Lemalacha Shemaim Ella Or Behema Tahora Bilvad is only said with respect to the Malachas HaMishkan. It's not said with respect to Malachas HaMishkan, but with respect to the straps of the tefillin. So you can't solve this doubt of Rabbi Lazar whether the Tachash was a Tahora or a Tameh, right? Because it has nothing to do now with the Malachas HaMishkan. It only has to do with tefillin. So now, we still have with our question. Was the Tachash Tahor Tameh? My Have Allah the Tachash. What's the conclusion when it comes to the Tachash Ayabime Moshe? Was it a Min Behema Tahora, Min Behema Tameah? So Amar Ravi Lam Rav Shimon bin Lakish, Omar your mayor, a mayor would say, Tachash Ayabime Moshe Briya Bifneats Mahaya. It was his own type of creature. Vloichriya Bochachamin Chayahu, Imin Behemahu. We didn't even know whether it's a Chaya, a wild animal, or a domesticated animal. The Karen Achas Haisel of a Mitzcho. It had a horn on its forehead. Ulefisha Nizdamilo the Moshe. And just for that moment, it appeared to Moshe for the needs of the Mishkan. And it was not found beforehand. Vasa Mimenu Amishkan, and Moshe, from it, Moshe made the skins of the Mishkan. Vinignaz, and then it was hidden, it's not found anymore. So Rabbi Lo wants to say, Midikamar Karen Achas Haisa Loba Mitzcho. The fact that Meir said it had a horn attached to its forehead, so Shmamina Tahor Haya. We can prove from here that was Tahor. Why? Adam Rabbi Huda, Shor Shehikriv Adam Rishon, Karen Achas Haisa Vimitzcho. Apparently, the ox that Adam Rishon brought
it's
as a.
Do you know how to work with those? No, don't
put okay. Mute yourself.
Yeah, I just did it. Okay. So the ox that Adam HaRishon brought as a korban to Hashem, so there is it had a keren, a horn in its forehead. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vatitav LaHashem Mishor Par Makrin Mafris. Okay, so the pasuk at Tehillim, it says that essentially the shore, the ox was Makrin, that it had a keren. It was a it had a keren and it was mafris. It the mafris parsa of the shosah shesa, right? It had split hooves and chewed its cud. In other words, it was a behema tahora. So therefore, we see from here that the fact that it had one horn, so obviously it's a tahor animal. Ah, but the Gemara asks on the drasha of Yehuda that the shore, that the ox that Adam Rishon brought had only one horn. It says makrin. Makrin means it's tarte. It means two. It had two different horns. Mashma. Okay, because makrin means bal karnayim. It means it had horns. And most oxen have two horns. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, makrin ksiv. It's written without a yud. So if it only had one horn. So velif shot minei. So can you solve from this the min behemahu? Can you solve from this also that the Tachash is a behema, because the shor was a behema and had one horn? So maybe also the Tachash was a behema because it had one horn. So the Gemara answers, Kevan de Ika Keresh, the Min Chaya Hu, Velesle Elachada Keren. Since there is a living creature called a Keresh, that is a Chaya Tahora. It is a wild animal that's a Tahora. And it only has one horn. Ika Lamemar, you can say, that also the tachash is also a minchaya, and therefore they were in doubt. But there's no doubt whether it was tahor, because whether it's a behemoth that has one horn, or whether it's a shor that has one of Adam Arishon, or whether it's a wild animal, it's like a keren, like a keresh, these are all meaning tahorim. In other words, a shor or a keresh are all tahorim. And so since all one-horned animals are tahorim, so therefore we can conclude that a tachash was a tahor animal. Okay, now the Mishnah is going to, lighting Shabbos candles with a cloth that was folded into a wick, okay, without singeing it. So now the Mishnah is going, and also the Mishnah is going to explain the law of a psila of a wick when it comes to Kabbalah's tuma, contracting tuma. Okay, so the Mishnah says, psilas abeget shekipla. If you have a piece of a cloth that was folded, like the way that you, I guess, fold a wick, and velo hivhava, but you didn't singe the top of the wick with fire, and so now they have a question, can you, with respect to two dinim. Rabbi Lezer Omer Temea, Rabbi Lezer says, if this is at least 3x3 fingers, so then, right, it can become a kabal tuma like a baguette, because even though you folded it as a wick, as long as you didn't singe it, it's still called a garment, and therefore it hasn't lost its attribute of a garment, and therefore it's makabal tuma. Ve'imadlikibah, but you can't use it as a wick for Shabbos, as the Gemara is going to explain. Rabbi Akiva omer tahorahi. Rabbi Akiva says it is not makabal tuma. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying that the act of folding it into a wick, even before singeing it, removes its status as a baguette, and therefore it's no longer tameh. Umadlikibah, you can light with it in Er Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to explain the nature of the debate in our Mishnah. Bishlama, it's always understood leinyan tuma. When it comes to be mekabel tuma baha pligi, this is the argument. Rabbi Elazar Sava, Elazar holds kipul eno moel uva milse kamaisa kamaisa kaima. According to Rabbi Elazar, folding it does not nullify it from a status of a garment, and it remains in its original status, and it's like a baguette, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. Rabbi Akiva, son, Rabbi Akiva holds kipul moel or bituli batel. Rabbi Akiva holds that no, once you fold it, so then it's cancels its original status of being a baguette, and now it's no longer makabal tuma. El leinyan hadlaka my pligi. But how do we understand their debate regarding whether you can use it for a wick for Ner Shabbos? So Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Oshaya v'chein Amar Vada Barava. So Rabbi Elazar said name Rabbi Oshaya, and also Rabbi Vada Barava says, Hacha b'shalosh al shalosh mitzum tzamos. The case is, we're talking about a piece of material that's exactly 3x3 tefachim, 3x3 fingers, I'm sorry. Askina, that's what we're dealing with. Uvi yom tov shechal yos b'erev Shabbos askina. We're talking about yom tov that falls out on Friday. So, there's an issue of muksa here. Okay? And the Mishnah is talking about when you want to light the Ner Shabbos on Yom Tov. And we need to preface this by saying the following. Chuli alma ishlahu de Rabbi Yehuda de Amar masikim bekelim ve masikim b'shir bekelim. Both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva agree with Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you're allowed to burn the oven, burn in the oven, it gets used for fuel, complete kelim, because complete kelim are mutter, you're allowed to move them for any use on Shabbos. In other words, you're allowed to take a chair, and let's say you have no more wood for your fire on Shabbos. You're allowed to take a chair and throw it into the fire. Why? The chair is not muksa, right? A chair is muchan, it's a kli, and you can move it on Yom Tov, and it's not muksa. So you just like you can use it to sit on, you can also use it for fuel, because you're allowed to heat something up on Shabbos for your own personal use. However, you cannot take broken pieces. Let's say the chair breaks. So when the chair breaks, let's say, but when the chair was fine, so then it was muchan. But now once it's broken, it's changed its status. So it's called nolad. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if kelim break, let's say on Yom Tov, so now they are muksa. Why? Because they have changed their status, and basically because they were first kelim, and now they have a different status. They have a different use. This would be on Yom Tov, a violation of nolad, and these items would be muksa specifically on Yom Tov. Okay, udechuli alma. So both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer hold like this. Udechuli alma, and according to everyone, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva also islahu to ula. They also hold what ula explicitly says. Damar ula hamadlik tzarich shiyalik berov hayotze. That if you light near Shabbos, you need to light with most of the wick that is outside the lamp, meaning to say, you should not stop being involved in the lighting until most of the wick that is outside of the wax or the oil has been lit, and you shouldn't light a little bit and just rely on the fact that it will continue to light by itself. So what's their debate? So with that in mind, what's their debate? Rabbi Eliezer Sava, Rabbi Eliezer holds, Kipul Eino Moel, that when you simply fold this garment, this small cloth, this piece of a garment, that you folded it on Erev Yom Tov, that would not be Mevatelit from a garment. And since the V'chevan She'idlik Be'Porsa, and once you began to light it on Yom Tov, and now it's a little bit less than, let's say, it, because it's diminished because you've lit it. Havilei shever kli. Because what happened? You've transformed it. Before, let's say you have this cloth that's exactly 3 by 3 fingers. So it has a status of a beged. It has a status of a garment. If you rip off a small piece or you burn off a small piece, then what have you done? You have been mevatel it. It's no longer a garment. So you've turned it from kelim to shivrei kelim. You've turned it from a kli to a broken kli. It can, once you burn it a little bit, it no longer can be used as a garment, and therefore it becomes a broken kli. And then v'chi kamadlik, and when you continue lighting it, you're lighting it with a b'shever kli kamadlik. You are lighting it with a broken kli, and that would be what? That would be muksa. You understand? So therefore, you can't light the Ner Shabbos with this wick on Shabbos. In other words, when Yom Tov's on Erev Shabbos, if you have something that's exactly 3 by 3 etzbos, 3 by 3 fingers, and you light, once you light a little bit of it, right? You can't stop lighting it until the majority of the wick is lit. But once a little bit is lit, so then you have been mevatel the kli from being a kli. Now it's shivrei kelim. It's like broken, like a broken kli, because no longer status of a beged. And now it's muksa, so you can't move it around anymore. So that's why Rabbi Eliezer says it's a problem. However, Rabbi Akiva holds that kipul moel, simply folding it, when you fold it in an Erev Yom Tov, right? You folded an Erev Yom Tov. You didn't singe it yet. So at that point, ain Toras Kliolav. It's already no longer a beged. But it's fit for hadlaka. So that's fine. V'chi kamadlik be'eth bawa kamadlik. So what happens in Erev Yom Tov? Erev Yom Tov, let's say Erev Yom Tov, your chair breaks. Erev Yom Tov, your chair breaks. You have these pieces of chair, right? So you can say, I want... And then you can say, you know what, it's close to Yom Tov, and you say, these pieces of chair, I want to use it, you say it on Erev Yom Tov itself, I want to use it for fuel. That's okay, it's not muksa. It's not muksa on Yom Tov, because you plan to use it for a permitted purpose on Yom Tov. Similarly here also, you folded the garment, you folded it into a wick. According to Rabbi Akiva, at that point, it's no longer a status of a garment. And what are you saying? I want to use this as a wick. and coming into Yom Tov, that's the status. It's a wick. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, when you fold it on Erev Yom Tov, it's still a beged until you singe it. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, when Yom Tov hits, it's a beged, and it only becomes a wick. It only loses status of a beged when you start lighting it on Yom Tov. It changes its status. That's nolad. And that would be forbidden on Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Eliezer.